Hallelujah. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Glory to God. Last week we began a new direction from where we had been, from talking about finances to talking about the move of the Spirit. Glory to God, the move of the Spirit. Jesus, in a visitation later on in Brother Hagin's ministry, said to him, "There is a move of my Spirit that will be lost to this generation if you don't teach it and lead people into it." Well, praise God. You know, he finished his race too and went to heaven in 2003. And here we are still today in the body of Christ, reaching for and needing to get over into that move of the Spirit. Amen. And though some of our leaders and generals in the body of Christ, as they do in every generation, they graduate to heaven, the same Holy Spirit is still here. Amen. And is well able, if we'll listen, amen, and cooperate with Him, to move us over into ever greater measures of what He has for us individually and corporately. Amen. Didn't Brianna just preach the house down? I told her in the back room, she's done preaching here behind my pulpit. That's just it. She just did too good of a job. But she stirred me up. Amen. I pray you got stirred up. Glory to God. Father, we thank you as we spend some time in your word, and whatever it is you want to do while we're in under this roof tonight. Have your way. Have your way. Glory to God. While the church is still at a certain size, we're at a place, Father, it'll be easier than it one day will be when there's a lot more people here to get a body, to get a group of people going the same direction. And Father, we just pray that tonight this will be our upper room and we're here in one accord. We're here because we want to be. And we're hungry. We're hungry for your plan. Oh, how great, how wonderful, how magnanimous is your plan. Even the parts of the plan, the great parts of your plan, we've not even seen or conceived yet. God, we know because it's your plan, it's so good. And we must have it. And we're here tonight to learn about it and how to walk in it. And so thank you that, God, let every ear be a listening ear. Let every heart be a hungry heart, a comprehending heart. And, oh, Father, as I've already prayed, help me to be an able minister of the New Testament and to be the blessing to your people you want me to be. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let's just begin reading again in verse number 1. Here Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual." Now in my Bibles, I mark out the word gifts because it's in italics. That means the translators put it in there for clarification. And you know, this chapter is talking more than just about what we call spiritual gifts. There's ministry gifts. There's unity in the body. There's statements made about the local church. And how many of you know that's all things that pertain to the Spirit? And so if you read it, it says, "Now concerning spiritual," that word spiritual in the Greek means things that pertain to the Spirit. Notice what he said by the Spirit. He said, "I would not have you ignorant." And so it is not a good thing for us to be ignorant about things that pertain to the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be, and I know you don't want to be. Praise God. For time's sake, let's skip down to verse 4. Paul says, "Now therefore there are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities or different kinds of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all." In those three verses, do you see the Trinity? Amen. We have the first mention in verse 4 of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then we have the mention of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, we have the mention of God, God the Father. So all three of these, amen, are part of things that pertain to the Spirit and the plan of God in spiritual things. I like to say it this way, you know, if this were to be considered a building project, God, the Father, is the architect. He's the master planner. Yeah. Amen. And then Jesus, He's the administrator. He's the head of the church. That makes Him the general contractor. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, He's the manifester. He's the iron worker. Yeah. Right. He's making it all happen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost have a grand plan and you're involved in it. You're involved in it. None of us are left out of it. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Now look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, but the manifestation. Everyone say manifestation. Yes. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? To every man. Now not every sinner man.
Right.
But every member of the body of Christ. Amen. Well, you're in there. Amen. I said you're in there. So here's what I want you to see right off. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to Brother Scott. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to Brother Perry. Brother PJ. Amen. Nobody knew his name. Who's Perry? That's PJ over there. If I unleashed a secret on you, I apologize. I'll give you a Pentecostal handshake after the service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But whoever that guy is over there with the good looking beard and the good looking wife, there's a manifestation of the Spirit.
Amen.
For all of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, are you having any?
Yes.
Well, if you're not, you should be. And you should not be content to do without.
Amen.
The manifestation of the Spirit in your life. Amen. And so let's finish the verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Amen. You know what? It's not applied for. It's not voted on. It's not claimed. It's given. And God's the giver. So you can't run your finger down the upcoming list in this chapter of the manifestations of the Spirit and say, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Amen. You don't have to do that because you're not excluded from any of the manifestations of the Spirit. If the Spirit decided and willed that you needed that manifestation, amen, well then you could work a miracle. You could operate in the gift of special faith. You could have discerning of spirits. Now, but you might go your whole life and maybe only see a manifestation in one or two categories, and that wouldn't make you anything less than. Amen. Some people walk around and claim, I've got all nine of the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have one of them. They don't belong to you. They're given. They're manifested through you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the Spirit wills. I don't know, I left my pocket knife in my other bag, I guess. You know, I normally carry it with me, but it's kind of heavy to preach in. And, you know, that's mine. Amen. In that sense, that's mine. I can pull it out. Right? Open it up. Use it anytime I will. But you can't prophesy anytime you will. I know there's people in the body of Christ that tell you you can. They're off. They're wrong. That's not true. It's not scriptural. The Bible does say all may prophesy, but it doesn't say all may prophesy anytime they want to.
That's right.
And for as long as they want to. We may all prophesy, amen, as the Spirit of God moves upon us. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm not trying to downplay any of those gifts. But there's this, I had one minister, you know, he said, he was contemplating scheduling a meeting with me and wanted me to come. He said, well, you know, you moving the gifts of the Spirit? And I said, well, yeah, as the Lord enables me. He said, I want you to come do a prophecy seminar. I said, oh, brother. You know, I know what he's thinking. He's thinking that I'm going to get up and line everybody up in a pair and have them all prophesy to one another. Anyway, we can deal with that later. That's amen. What I do want you to see here is that manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man.
Amen.
Is given to every man.
Amen.
Now, why are they given? Or what will be the result? If you finish that verse, for the prophet. For the prophet. For the prophet. Amen. P-R-O-F-I-T. For the gain, for the benefit of all. God gives manifestations of the Spirit for your profit, for your gain. Amen. For your benefit.
Yeah.
And so for just this one reason alone, we should be hungry for the manifestations of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit of God really does manifest Himself,
yeah,
amen, everyone involved with that will gain, will profit.
Amen.
Amen. No church, no congregation ought to be shy or at all nervous or afraid about allowing the Holy Spirit to move, amen as he desires to in their services, in their congregation, because the only thing that's going to happen when it's really the Holy Ghost is people are going to profit. Yeah. People are going to avoid wrong decisions, wrong directions. They're going to have miracles. They'll see, have healing. They'll have clarity about the plan of God. They'll avoid dangers. Come on. They'll be blessed. They'll be edified. They'll be encouraged. And their faith will rest in God. We saw that last week. Amen. The gospel's never intended to be a word-only gospel. Paul said, I didn't come to you with just enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Glory to God. Why? So that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was so blessed me to see the young people laying hands on the sick, and then to get testimony since then of how the power of God moved and people are healed, and amen. Yeah, praise God. We get our eye on one man or one minister. Amen. But God will use us all. God won't use us all the same way. Notice it said there's differences of how these gifts operate and through whom they operate. Are you with me? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit withal. Now let's go ahead and read this list of gifts, and then I got an assignment. I'm heading somewhere specific. Praise God. Now, so it says 4 to 1. Now, does it mean everybody? No, it says 4 to 1 is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Notice it's not called the gift of wisdom. That's not what this is called. And if you call it the gift of wisdom, you're going to define it wrong. You're going to be off. Amen. 4 to 1 is given the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. Now, I like the Amplified's clarification of that, meaning in the Greek. This is not saving faith or the believer's everyday measure of faith. Amen. This is a manifestation of the Spirit. Something special, something more unique. So I like to call it what the Amplified calls it, to another, special faith. Special faith. You know, as the Lord would lead us and allow us, I'd like to get in there and just teach you about these and give you some definition and show you how these manifest, how these worked in the Bible and throughout the church age. That be interesting to us? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then it says, to another, the gifts of healing. Now, it's unfortunate that the King James renders it healing, because in the Greek, both the word gifts and the word healing is in the plural. So in all my King James Bible, you'll see I've drawn an S at the end. It's gifts of healings. It's not the gift of healing. It's gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers or different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now look at verse 11. But all these, what? All these manifestations worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally. Anybody got New King James? New King James says what, huh? Individually. Right. Right. So, you know, in many years I thought that way, because that's the way I read it in the King James Bible. That, you know, that it says that to each one he gives severally, which I took to mean more than one. More than one. Amen. Meaning that we could expect more than one of these gifts. Really, it doesn't say that. Now, I'm not saying that we're limited to, again, you heard me say, right? If it was needed in the moment, amen. And then God could manifest any of the 9 manifestations listed here through your. So you're not, don't be like that. But in the Greek, it literally says individually. Right. The Spirit deals these out individually. Mm-hmm. You, right. Me, everybody. Amen. So we see that there are, glory to God, that God, the manifestations of the Spirit, verse 7, are given to every man for the profit withal. And let's read verse 11 back to back with that. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. So is it you? You're involved. You're a vessel. But these manifestations are works, and they are worked. They are manifest by Him. That's why they're called gifts of the Spirit, not gifts of Chris. That pocket knife was at one time not mine. I bought it and obtained it. Now it's mine. Now God uses me in several of these. Diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, occasional words of wisdom, gifts of healings. Amen. Those are some of the ways that I've seen how God uses me in my ministry. Amen. But they're not gifts of Chris. That meaning I can't go, like I go over to the light switch and I can turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off, turn it on. You can't treat prophecy that way. Amen. And even though this is there's a pattern that I can see how the Holy Spirit manifests with some frequency these gifts in my life, that doesn't mean they're my gifts. If it was mine, see that pocket knife, I could give it to Dakota if I wanted to. But I can't take the gifts of healings and give them to Cynthia. Amen. They're not mine to give. Amen. And so we're dependent on the Holy Spirit, aren't we? And we always will be to manifest these. So verse 11 says he works that one and self same Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man individually. How? As you will. Bless God, I'm going to go work miracles. Well, later on this chapter it says, are all workers of miracles? What's the answer to that question? The answer's no. Now we can all have supernatural manifestations in the area of healing. Amen. And this is just one avenue to get to the supernatural too. Don't forget, we have faith in God's Word. I said, I can get a miracle just through faith in God's Word. Amen. All right. So let's go to the 14th chapter. And son, you got your Amplified there with you?
Yes.
If you could point out to me, so I don't have to look for it, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 4, oh, there it is, thank you. So from the Amplified translation, concerning, again, well, I'll just let the Bible speak for itself. Paul says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love, make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire, amen, earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose inspired by preaching and teaching. What I want you to see here is that believers are instructed to hunger. To hunger. Amen. To desire earnestly these manifestations. Well, there's one thing to check yourself out in. Amen. Now, where I want to go tonight is, where do these things begin for all of us? Where do these things begin for all of us? Hallelujah. Well, these things typically begin for most of us, generally speaking, with God's plan, in being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Amen. Glory to God. Now go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And again, I'd like to see that in the Amplified Classic. Now this is going to feel like I'm making a turn, and I am, from where we've just been discussing. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. It has been said that speaking with other tongues is the doorway to the gifts of the Spirit. It is the springboard to the other manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean it has to be that way, but just men and women of great experience in the ministry and centuries now of church history in these things is proven out to be so. Amen. That there's something that we can do and know that if you want to have individually more manifestations of the Spirit, and do you? You should, because the more the Spirit of God manifests through you, the more profit there'll be, the more supernatural gain there'll be. Amen. See, Miss, wouldn't it help Sister Teresa at the school to have the word of knowledge? You know, having supernatural insight into the mind of God about that kid and what that kid's up to. Amen. Wouldn't God know if someone planned some sort of shooting? God forbid, that'll never happen, because we're keeping that down in prayer. Not just me, but several churches that are praying together. But we won't have any of that in Jesus' name. But I'm just saying, wouldn't God know? Well, wouldn't it profit the school if she got inside information in prayer that morning? Amen. Yeah, the word of knowledge. Supernatural insight into the mind of God concerning people, places, and things about the past or the present. God knows. Glory to God. God knows what the next Yahoo at $5 is. Doesn't He? Amen. Anyway. Well, glory to God. There's a way that we can position ourselves individually and corporately to see more of these manifestations. And that's by living a full Christian life. Living and maintaining what Miss Sister Brianna was preaching to us about Romans chapter 12. Amen. About be fervent in spirit. The Moffat's translations, or Mofat's, the Moffat's translation says, somebody said Mofat, the Mofat translation. I thought that was funny. Praise God. That was Brother Hagin's favorite translation of that verse. Says, maintain the glow. Maintain the glow. This is what I want to get into with the remaining time we have. Glory to God. There's a lot of Christians that I come across, amen, and interact with, and they're doing everything but maintain the glow. They ain't got no glow. They got depression on them. They got despondency on them. They got pressure on them. They got discouragement on them. They got downtroddenness on them. You can tell they're beat up. You can tell they're going through something. You can tell they've been living in the heat of the kitchen. Amen. Amen. And listen, I've been there, right? You've been there. I've been there. But do you know, friends, praise God, there's a way. There's a way. God has given us a way. Not only a divine means whereby we can cultivate greater manifestations of the Spirit, amen, by being filled with the Spirit and speaking with other tongues and staying that way, live in that way, amen. But there's a way to live your life on the mountaintop. I was reading Brother Hagin's book on tongues today, and he was talking about this woman that was at his revival meeting. And she was also at his revival meeting the year before. Well, the year before, you know, she'd been through it, you know, going through life, kids, and bills, and pressures, and responsibilities. But she said, I came to that meeting a year ago and got filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I got up on the mountaintop, got so Spirit-filled, got blessed. But then I had to leave the meeting. You left town. I went back to my life. And it's been dry and dead and hard and rough and finances and kids and cooking meals and going to church and la, 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 la. And she said, I'm so excited you're back in town. I'm here to get back on the mountaintop. Brother Hagin said, dear Lord, she's missed the whole thing. Yeah. Well, I'm quite convinced that she's not the only one who missed the whole thing. We don't have to go from the mountaintop to the valley, from the mountaintop to the valley. Why don't you just get up on the mountaintop and stay up there? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Get up on the mountaintop and stay there. You know that? You can do that? Glory to God. What am I saying? You don't have to go from joy to depression. Amen. You don't have to go from being hopeful and optimistic one day to discouraged for 3 months. You know, coming in and out of the church like this all the time. Oh my God, pray for me, Pastor. Yeah, the devil's been after me all the week. We can live above. Praise the Lord. Depression. We can live above being sad. We can live above. Come on. Anybody interested in that? Glory to God. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, just on the other side, Peter's preaching a sermon. Amen. And they've been filled with the Spirit the day of Pentecost. Now they've had the healing of the blind man. Peter's just preaching away. The 19th verse says, so repent, change your mind. Change your purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. And then look at this, that times of refreshing. Come on. Times of refreshing. Amen. Don't you want the miracle crusade to be time? Don't you want every church service we have? Times of refreshing. Amplified says of recovering. Recovering. Now see, sometimes of no fault of our own, we go through things. Like I said earlier, the devil's going to make sure that we deal with attacks. Yeah. We're not going to live our Christian life unopposed. Yeah. And we live in a fallen, broken world. And we're not immune to the hardships, the trials, the tests, the struggles. Amen. We're not. Amen. But aren't you glad that God's ordained corporately? God has ordained times of refreshing. Times of refreshing, of recovering, of recovering from the effects of heat. Yeah. Of reviving with fresh air. You know, the Holy Spirit moves like a wind. And on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Come on. So we see this word, times of refreshing, recovering from the effects of heat, reviving. Now, the Weymouth translation says seasons of revival. Come on. In the body of God knows that in the body of Christ, we need to have seasons of revival. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe here in Paducah, we're about due. I said, we're about due, aren't we? Glory to God. I don't know how you feel about it. Amen. But I just feel like it's ripe.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Yes.
For some times of refreshing.
Yes.
Seasons of revival. Glory to God. Dr. Kenneth Wiest, he translates it this way. Repent at once. Instantly change your attitude. And perform a right about face in order that your sins may be obliterated. In order that there may come, listen to this, epic making periods of spiritual revival. Yeah, I like that too. Epic. Now let's have some epic church services. Come on, let's have some epic times. Glory to God. Epic making periods of spiritual revival and refreshment. Now all of these translations end with a very key phrase. From the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
From the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Go to Psalm 16 with me. Y'all got a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Psalm 16. Hallelujah. This verse, God, you know, I knew that at some point I was heading to another phase in my ministry. And was excited about it. Still excited about it. Well, I got out in California, and Pastor Nancy, toward the end of the meeting, decided, you know, thank God that she was going to minister to the ministers. And so I was there, and I got in line. She grabbed my hands, and for the first time, I never spoke a word about the definition of what I thought the next phase of my ministry would mean or be or look like. And she said the word. She said the word, and I was thrilled to hear it because it was confirmation for me that I was just not a loony bin off track. Amen. You know, when your spiritual parents see something in you that you think God has for you, that's good, right? That's good. Amen. And then I got up trying not to, but it was almost inevitable. I kind of knew what was going to happen because the devil heard that word too. And from that day till just in recent week, just in the last couple of weeks, I mean, all hell broke loose against me. I mean, all hell broke loose against me. Opposition of every kind, type, quarter, just every kind.
Amen.
I'm about on the other side of it now.
Praise
thanks to some of your prayers and my prayers and just not quitting. But in the midst of all that, you know, January, February, March, you can start thinking, is this the way the year's going to be? Dear Lord. God began to deal with me about this verse. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse number 11. You got this one, Mark? It says, God will show me, you, the path of life. In thy presence. Come on. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. If you're experiencing less than that, then we're all invited to something different. If you don't like the flow you're in, there's a different flow. I said, there's a different flow. Amen. But if you want to experience fullness of joy, there's a location. I said, there's a location. I said, there's a location. Glory to God. It's not on your couch. Amen. It's not, well, I don't want to pick on the live streamers. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Where is it? It's in His presence.
Amen.
In His presence.
Amen.
And you know, He made it so easy. He moved on the inside of you when you got born again.
Yeah.
I love what Pastor Nancy said. We don't earn the presence of God in our life. We just simply turn. We don't experience the presence of God by earning, but by turning.
Amen.
How close? How far? What do you got to do to experience the presence of God? Just turn to Him.
Amen.
In the mall.
Yeah.
In your car.
Yeah.
At the office.
Yes,
the moment you become conscious, the moment you become aware, He's here. He's with you. He's in you. Glory to God. Then you can begin to experience His presence. Amen. And so many of us, if we want a season of refreshing and revival, we want to be saturated with God's presence. We want to experience the fullness of joy, and we want to get over into the greater move of the Spirit of God. We need to spend more time in His presence. Well, that could simply mean I need to be more conscious. You know, I know we wouldn't go to the places we go, do the things that we do, say the things that we say, you know, act the ways that we act if we were constantly aware of His indwelling presence in us. We would think twice about copping an attitude, going off into sin, knowing He lives on the inside of us. But then, friends, there is also true that we need to come aside and be alone and get in a quiet and peaceful place and just acknowledge God and spend time lingering. And that's what God has been saying. He said, Chris, your answer to all this trouble is in My presence. In My presence. The relief you seek from the pressure on your mind is in My presence. Amen. The remedy for all the arrayed different physical attacks that I've had to overcome since January is in His presence. Come on. Amen. To relief from the pressures of all the financial things and all the needs and all the people that have spoken and all the whatever that people, whatever, misunderstood me and persecuted me, left me, whatever. Amen. Praise God. The remedy for all that is in His presence. In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. So we could all tell who's been spending time in God's presence and who has not. I can look on your face, and you can look on my face and find out who's been neglecting God's presence and who's been enjoying it. How does that verse end? Not only glory to God. Amen. Is there fullness of joy? There are what? Pleasures evermore. At His right hand, there are pleasures evermore. The God's Word translation says it this way: complete joy is in your presence. Ha ha ha. Complete joy is in your presence. Pleasures are by your side forever. Forever.
Amen.
Flip over to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. This might be one of those services you just have to leave when you want to. I don't know. I trust Him. He knows what time it is. Psalm 36 and verse 8. The Bible says here, they shall be abundantly satisfied by the fatness of God's house, of thy house. And you shall make them, what? You shall make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. There is a river. That's where we're headed next. Go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river. That verse says, there is a river. The streams, in other words, the offshoots, whereof of that river make what? Make mad? Make mad, make offended, make sad, weigh you down? No, it makes you glad. I said, there's a river that makes you glad, not mad. Glad, not sad. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. You know, water is a type of the Holy Ghost. I'll just quote this to you in John chapter 7, Jesus speaking of the Holy Ghost. Said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his belly, what? Shall flow rivers, streams of living water, But this spoke he of the Spirit. You know, I'm glad about it. There's a lot in this day we're living in. There's a lot of talk about mental health and self-care and taking care of yourself and mental and emotional help. And fine. But I'm telling you what, those are inferior things compared to what God offers in His presence. We're the most drugged, medicated, addicted, shot up, drunk, unhappy, depressed generation of Americans, I think, that have ever lived since a nation was born. And what we really need to get back to is in His presence. In His presence. Nobody can do me like Jesus can do me. Brother Hagin said this. He said, it is impossible to spend even just a little bit of time with the Master and not be affected by it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I was in Mississippi and I was ministering some of these things, talking about streams. I just want to rattle these off because I have a specific one I want to just touch on. You know, there's a lot of different streams, and the streams will quench your thirst. Amen. And revive you and refresh you and keep you that way. Amen. And so the streams could be thought of as different flows of the Holy Ghost. Right? Different flows of the Holy Ghost. Well, we've been talking about one, waiting in His presence. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall be dry as all get out. They'll just be a dry and defeated believer. No, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. And they'll mount up. God, it's a wonderful exchange. God takes your discouragement, your negativity, your physical weakness, your mental weakness, your emotional weakness. And as you just wait, as you just hang out in His presence, He imparts to you joy and peace and hope and assurance and fresh strength. Fresh strength. He said, don't you know? Haven't you heard that God doesn't sleep. He doesn't take naps. He doesn't need to. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. And He says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. What's wrong with y'all? I'm doing good preaching. Don't treat Pastor Nancy that way. Y'all need to respond. You won't get what you're supposed to get if you don't respond. I know you're listening. Hallelujah. Mount up on wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and you won't faint. We can be like Dr. Seville. I mean, he's running and going and pursuing the plan of God and preached his last message, getting his breath, and then just fell asleep in death. Boom. Next thing he knows, he's in heaven. Ran his race, finished his course. Amen. He wasn't in some preacher's rehab because he was burned out, wore out, discouraged. Come on. Amen. Another stream is maintaining the positive confession of God's Word. Amen. Don't talk doubt. Don't talk negativity. Don't talk the problem. Don't talk how bad it is. Don't talk your lack of money, your lack of opportunity, how people did you dirty, how people did you wrong. We could all tell that story. Amen. Glory to God. Don't talk so much about how bad your knee hurts, your back hurts, your neck hurts, your nose hurts, your ear hurts, your heel hurts, your leg hurts. I mean, you need to communicate enough to maybe get a prayer request to someone who knows how to pray for you. Amen. But Job, chapter 32, verse 20, he said, I must speak that I might be refreshed. I must speak. You know, you're going to have to speak if you want to be refreshed. You're going to have to say something positive when you don't feel like it. Amen. So I'm moving on there. Another stream, well, this will be the one, I won't give you all of them, but this is the one I wanted to touch. Where did the time go? This is the one I wanted to touch on. Glory to God. Is the stream of praying much in other tongues. Getting filled with the Spirit and staying full of the Spirit. Brother Smith Wigglesworth, he said this. He said, I have revival everywhere I go because I live full of the Spirit. He didn't have an experience 35 years ago where he had a good spiritual experience and spoke in tongues and then forgot about it like most Christians do. No, he lived full of the Spirit. He didn't need reviving. He brought revival everywhere he went. Amen. In his house, on the train, on the sidewalk, in the Colosseum, in the church service, on the ship going from here to there. He had revival everywhere he went. You want to know why? He lived full of the Spirit. Amen. And I just recently came across this quote from him. He said, it's better to live ready than get ready. It's better to live ready than get ready. And a lot of people think, well, I know what to do, and when I need to do it, I'll get ready. Oh, not in these days. It's better to live ready. It's better to live ready than it is to try to get ready. So many Christians, church folks I've encountered over the years, are willfully neglecting their spiritual life. They're so tied up, hung up, caught up, involved with everything except what would revive them, fill them, refresh them, heal them. Full of excuses about why can't this, why can't that, why can't come to church on Wednesday night because you voluntarily spent your whole day in the heat. And now I'm tired. You knew when we had midweek service. Won't you put your heavy choice on some other day? Well, they don't want to. Well, you don't have to. But you don't have, you can live, you know, you can roll around on four empty, flat spiritual tires. Glory, glory. I'm just preaching the truth. Amen. There's a reason why people are beat up. There's a reason why people are just perpetually confused, wore out, depressed. Amen. Tired. Well, you don't understand. I got a chemical imbalance. There's a healer in the house. I said, there is a healer in the house, and I'm not him, but Jesus is, and I work for him. I'm not the healer, but I know him. I work for him. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, I got to get over here before time runs out. Isaiah 28. This verse, if you've not, I know you've seen this, but this will just bless your socks off. Ha, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. There is a stream. There's a flow of the Spirit in speaking with other tongues that revives, that edifies, that builds you up. Amen. That's why Jude said, Beloved, let us build ourselves up on our most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I know this, Pastor. I know you know it, but are you doing it? Are you living this way? Am I? Well, can't you tell? No, I can't tell by looking at you. I cannot. You need to drink some more. Listen, I'm not proud of it, but back in the day when I was getting to this place with natural alcohol, no one had to ask me if I was full of it. It was evident to everybody that I had drank myself full. I was so thrilled. I wasn't mad about it. I wasn't offended about it. I was so thrilled to find out God's got His own wine. I was just so, where has this been all my life? God is into drinking. He is into it.
Yes, sir.
He said in that verse, I'll make you drink. I'll make you. He said, I'll pour, Isaiah 44:3, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty.
Amen.
Jesus in Revelation said, all ye, come,
yeah.
Come and drink.
Yeah.
Come and drink.
Amen.
Till you quench your thirst.
Yes,
alcohol and drugs, pornography and things like that are a gross inferior substitute for new wine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Psalm 28, verse number 11 and 12. So here the prophet Isaiah says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the what? This is the rest. Where were you last night? I just need some, and I understand some of that physical rest. But do you know there's a spiritual rest that cannot be attained with a month on the beach.
You're right.
I'm telling you, there is a rest that can only, come on, be had spiritually. And God says, this is the rest whereby I shall cause the weary to rest.
Praise God.
Do you see that?
Yes.
And this is the refreshing.
Hallelujah.
This is what people are looking for.
Right.
It's true.
Isn't it? This is what people are needing. This is what people are longing for.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, your dear hearts, and I've been there too, struggling. Struggling in the natural, leaning on my own strength, trying to do it all by myself, not looking to God, not waiting on God, too busy for that. I'll climb this mountain on my own. I'll do it by myself. I'm a self-made man. You just wear yourself out. Wear yourself out. And God's ordained a rest. I said, God's ordained a rest. And he said, in this is the refreshing. Yet, they would not hear me. They would not hear me. They would not listen. Do you see, this is one of the very, very few Old Testament hints of a coming heavenly language. Paul quotes this phrase, stammering lips, in talking about speaking with tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He references this. So being filled with the Spirit and yielding oneself to the utterances of the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, it's not just about praying out the will of God. It's not just a divine means of interceding. It's all of that. Amen? Glory to God. There is a purpose, a divine flow, a stream of the Spirit in speaking with other tongues, and its only purpose is to take you from weary to rested, from dry to refreshed.
Yes.
And it's as simple as Londongosta Nandenge Mandongoromote Engi Mando Sanga Shtedehe. Glory to God. That's a stream. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Lift up your voice right now and get yourself some rest. Lift up your voice right now. Amen. And drink. Get yourself hooked up to this stream. This stream. This flow of the Spirit whereby God causes the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Lenge sandang.